That's awesome. I want to encourage you, hey, be a part of that. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man. Consider partnering with someone to do that. Hey, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalms 51? And we're going to go to from Psalms 51 to Psalms 22. And but while you're turning there, I just have one announcement. Here in a few weeks, we have a guest speaker that is going to be joining us. And his name is Marty Meyer. And he's part of YWAM. And we're going to do like a spiritual emphasis weekend. So we're going to have a service Friday night. And then also we're going to have a service, a couple sessions on Saturday. And then he's going to be here with us on Sunday. And I want to encourage you, first and foremost, would you mark your calendar to be at that. To be at that at Friday night. There's details in the connection sheets that you have received here this morning. If you grab those, if you didn't, you can still grab those on your way out. But it's just gonna be an awesome opportunity to just kind of get stirred up in our faith. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that Friday night, and then also be a part of that Saturday as well, because I think it's going to be a huge blessing to you. And so his name is Marty Meyer. You could check him out. He's written a book entitled Epic Faith, and you could buy that and read that before he comes. And you're going to hear more about that next week as well. But Psalms 51, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Hey, Psalm 51, we're going to read verses 14 through 17 here this morning. Verse 14, deliver me from guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Now skip back to Psalms 22 and hold your spot there in Psalms 51, because we're going to come back to that. Psalms 22, and we're going to read just one verse. Verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And today, as we continue in this series that we've been talking on, this topic of a healthy church is, I want to talk to you on this topic, tapped into heaven, tapped into heaven. So if you're taking notes, would you write that down? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're an amazing God. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would just come and that you would just stir our hearts here this morning. And Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do today. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. You would stir us. You would challenge us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 As I was thinking about this last week, this title, Tapped into Heaven, that just began, caused me to think about wrestling when I was younger. And maybe some of you have wrestled around with, maybe siblings or friends, or maybe you've watched people wrestle to the point to where it's like, hey, you're going to wrestle until someone taps out, right? And I remember this one time before my Jesus days, my friends and I, every once in a while, we thought this was cool to be able to do, is to be able to wrestle with each other. And this one day that we decided to do this, it was shortly after consuming some substances, and so we thought it was a good idea to box. And so we had these boxing gloves, and so this one kid that was there, he thought I was an easy target, so he wanted to box me. And so I was sitting there, got the boxing gloves on, and he's in front of me, and I'm here and just got done getting my boxing gloves on. And he does one of these things towards me. And I wasn't even ready. I thought he was going to like cheap shot me. And so I just reacted. Just went, bam. And I hit him right across the jaw. All I remember is him go, he tapped out for the rest of the night. He was done. And I remember, like, when I was younger, I used to wrestle with one of my good friends, and he wrestled his whole life, and he always thought it was like fun to wrestle, and especially wrestle me, because I know nothing when it comes to wrestling. And so he would always put me in these crazy moves and pin me. And he thought it was awesome, and I thought it was painful. And he would always do it and wait for me to tap out. And so I would tap out, and he would let me go, and he put me in some weird arm bar or leg bar, and it was just nuts. And but how many of you guys have seen the movie The Black Panther? You've seen that movie, The Black Panther? Remember at the very beginning when the prince was being put into position of king, and he has to fight any contender, and all of a sudden there's a contender there that he wants to take the throne, and so they fight, and the prince puts this guy in this move, and he says, "Yield." He's telling him to yield. He's like, "Hey, listen, this is not worth dying over." He's like, "Yield." He was waiting for him to like tap out. He's waiting for him to give in. He was waiting for him to just give up. And he finally does, and he taps on the leg, and he taps out. And you might be like, "Why are you sharing those things about tapping out?" It's the same thing with you and I in our walks with God. There's this constant battle within us. Galatians chapter 5 is very clear about that, that there's this battle raging within you and I of like, which battle's going to win? Is it going to be our flesh or is it going to be our spirit? How many of you guys know this is a real battle? Yeah. There's this battle, this struggle of, am I going to lean towards and do the things that God wants me to do? Or am I going to give in and do what my flesh or my own desires want to do? And that's a battle. And here's the thing, your flesh has got to tap out in order to tap into your spirit. So here's kind of my big picture idea here this morning. You must tap out. We have to tap out in order to tap into all that heaven has for us. We have to tap out in order to tap into all that heaven has for us. This is why I'm using the word tap out. Tap out signifies submission. Tap out signifies surrender. Tap out signifies the mere fact that you're going to give up. And how many of you guys know that if you and I don't give up in our own flesh, or give up in our own desires, give up in our own wants, we'll never truly tap into all that heaven has for us. This is a battle. I mean, if you're new to church, can I just, like, let me give you some really encouraging news. When you say yes to Jesus, you enter into a battle zone. You might be like, "That's encouraging." No, not at all. But you need to know what you're signing up for, because the reality is when you say yes to Jesus and you go back out into the world, the enemy's coming after you. Why? He wants you to give in to your flesh instead of tapping out of your flesh and tapping into all that God has for you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
He wants you to give up so that way you could just like reap the destruction of your own desires, of your own sin. But Jesus, he's like, "Hey, anyone who comes after me shall deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me." He's saying tap out daily so you could experience everything that I have for you. There's something in us that we've got to understand, that God wants to do something incredible in us. And so we got to tap out. In order for you and I to experience all that heaven wants for us, to bring heaven to earth, we have to be willing to tap out. We have to be willing to surrender our humanity so we gain the blessings of heaven. In other words, we must tap out so we could tap into heaven. Yeah. You see this played out in many people's lives in the Bible, scattered throughout the scriptures. I mean, in order for certain people to truly experience all that God has for them, you see this play out. I mean, I think of Noah at the very beginning. He had to get to a spot where it's like his own desires, his own will, even his own reputation. He was willing to surrender all of that so that way he could obey the command of to build a boat.
Right.
How hard is it for you and I in today's culture to just even say yes to Jesus in public? Well, people might think I'm a Jesus freak. Yeah, probably. But they probably really do, so you might as well be public about it.
Yeah, right?
It's like, he's like, "Hey, I'm going to tap out so I can tap into everything God's had for me." Or what about Abraham? Abraham had to tap out of the rationale of the mere fact that he was almost 100 years old, and he was still without the promise that God promised him. He had to tap out saying, "God, I don't know how you're going to do this. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm tapping out of my unbelief and tapping into believing who you are and the promises over my life so that way I can experience everything that you have for me." And because he did that, he's recognized as the father of our faith.
Yeah.
He tapped out. Or what about Jacob? Remember how Jacob wrestled with God? There's this story in the Old Testament where it talks about how he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And it says that in this wrestling, he wrestled all night. And he's like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And God even touched his hip and wrenched it. And now the Bible says ever since that time, he walked with a limp. I don't know if his leg drags. That was kind of weird. But, I don't know if he's walking like this. I don't know. But yeah, it says that he walked with a limp. But this is what it said. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And then God said, what's your name? He had to come to the grips of the reality of who he was before God could bless him. And he's like, he tapped out of his identity and said, I am nothing more than a deceiver. And now God said, you will no longer be called a deceiver anymore, but you're going to be called Israel. And he gave him a new name, but he had to tap out of that. Or I think of the prodigal son and how he took his whole inheritance and squandered it. And he goes off, and the Bible says he spent everything on wild living. Spent it all. It's like, oh man, I got this. And then all of a sudden the Bible says that in Luke 15, it says that he got to a place, and this is what the Bible says, he came to his senses that it was better for me in my father's house. And he tapped out of what he was doing in that moment and said, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to give up this wild life. I'm going to give up what I'm doing right now because it doesn't fulfill me. He ended up in a place he never thought he would be. He ended up doing things he never thought he would do. And all of a sudden now he's like, I'm out of that. I'm going back to my Heavenly Father. I'm going back. Or I think of David. King David in the Bible, finally after he messed up and was confronted, he surrendered. He surrendered and he tapped out to experience and encounter God in a way that he never had up to that point. See, Psalm 51 is the psalm that he wrote talking about him really laying down who he was and what he did so that way he could truly come into grips and come into reality and encounter who God was in his life. See, Psalm 51 is a psalm concerning David after the incident with Bathsheba. David, who was king over Israel, he was supposed to go out and actually lead the troops out to battle. He was supposed to go out and lead the troops. And for whatever reason, we don't know the exact reason as to why he didn't. But the Bible says that he stayed back. And he stayed back and he ended up in a place that he wasn't supposed to be. He was in the wrong time at the wrong, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he ended up lusting after a woman because he got out on his balcony and he saw a woman named Bathsheba taking a bath on the rooftop. And he lusted after her and he sent some servants to go get her. And so the servant went and got her and she brought her back to the castle, back to the palace. And I'm sure he probably thought no one would ever know except for this servant and maybe a few other people that saw her come in. But he brings her in and he ends up committing adultery with her. And he probably thought he got away with it. He probably thought, man, no one's going to find out. But then all of a sudden she sends word and says, hey, I'm pregnant. Now the king is like, great, now what do I do? And he comes up, he goes, I got a great idea. I'm going to have her husband, who is out in the battle, he's going to come back, he's going to go and sleep with his wife, and he's going to think that the child is his. So he brings Uriah back, say, hey, go home. But the crazy thing about Uriah was more loyal to the mission than David was. He didn't do it. And David tried a couple different times. The Bible talks about this. And he didn't do it. And so finally, David goes, man, what am I going to do? So he's like, hey, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to have Uriah take it. And so he writes a letter, gives it to Uriah. And Uriah takes that letter, which is his death certificate. Because in the letter, he told the general to fall back and allow Uriah to die in battle. Uriah didn't know that. But David, he did this thinking he could cover things up. Why? Because now once Uriah was out of the picture, he could take Bathsheba and marry her so that way he could cover up the sin in which he performed. It was nothing more than fig leaves, like that of Adam and Eve, covering things up. See, many times when you and I commit sin, we do things to cover it up. We work harder. We try harder. We do whatever we can to, like, really honestly to hide behind something. When in actuality, God, instead of God wanting us to hide behind the very thing that we did, he wants us to uncover so that way he can bring grace. And here's the crazy thing. It's not how much harder we try after we mess up or how we try to make things right, although that may be necessary and be good. It's us confessing it to the only true one that really honestly matters. It's the one, it's us confessing and coming clean before Jesus. It's us saying, God, I messed up. And see, Psalm 51 is this response to David being confronted. There's this old prophet named David, Nathan. He comes and he confronts David and says, David, you messed up. And long story short, David goes, oh my goodness, it was me. And he's confronted with his sin. And Psalm 51 is the response of his confrontation with Nathan and him coming clean. So when you read the whole psalm, it's this response of him just saying, man, I'm a broken person. I messed up. Lord, cleanse me. So David gets to this spot in Psalm 51. When you read it, he goes, man, if it was sacrifices that you require, I would do more of that, because he tried that. He tried to cover up with sacrifices. Well, Pastor Josh, I'm here at church. It's a sacrifice. David would say to you, it's not what God requires. Well, Pastor Josh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying hard, I read my Bible every single day. David would say to you and I here this morning that that's not what God requires. He came to himself, he realized that the sacrifices and things, the religious system that he partook in, wasn't what God required to tap into all that heaven had for him. So what does that look like? What does it look like for you and I to truly tap into heaven? Could I suggest to you three things here this morning that I think that David would say to you and I here today, so we could tap in, truly tap into all that God has for us to tap into heaven? You see, when you read the scriptures, there's just this idea that God wants to have an open heaven over your life. You see, the Bible talks about how sometimes the heavens are as brass. And what he's talking about, that's like God's judgment. But he also talks about how heavens are open. And I don't know about you, but I want the heavens open over my life. I want the heavens open because why? Because that's a symbol of God's blessing. I want the heavens open over my family. I want the heavens open over our church. I want the heavens open over our city. Why? Because I want all that God has for you and I. Don't you?
Yeah.
So what does that look like? Number one, tune out all other voices but his. In order for you and I to tap out, to truly tap into heaven, we have to tune out all other voices but his. You see, when you read through Psalm 51, you recognize that David's desire is to hear only God's voice in his life. Let's hear only God's voice in his life so he can truly turn and teach other people. Look at Psalm 51, verse 8. Check this out. It says, make me hear. Make me hear joy and gladness. Make me hear joy and gladness. How many of you guys know that there's four main voices in your life and in my life that we have to wrestle with? You might be like, what are those voices? Here's some voices. Voice number one is the devil or the demonic. The devil is a very real person. I know our world today doesn't believe that. I know our world today thinks it's just a symbol. No, I'm here to tell you that he's a very real person. His job description is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And the Bible says that the native tongue of the devil and the demonic is that of a liar. But it also tells us in Corinthians that the devil comes as an angel of light. So what are you saying, Pastor Josh? I'm saying we need discernment today to know which voice is trying to speak over your life. Because how many of you guys know there are times where it really is the enemy, that it really is him trying to get you to go away from God? Let me just, you might be like, how can I tell? If you messed up this week and there is this small voice in the back of your mind that could be yours, but also could be the enemy, of telling you, hey, don't go to church because you'll just feel nothing but condemnation. That's the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the devil. But you see, that's the first voice. The second voice is this, is the world in which we live. How many of you guys know that the world around us shouts certain things? How many of you guys know that there are well-meaning people that say some really good stuff at times, but it's really not of God?
Yeah.
I've heard people tell people like, you know, hey, if you're not happy in your marriage, just like, you know, give up and just move on because you two just aren't compatible. Let me just say that first and foremost. That's stupid. that is not of God. That is not, you can't find that in scripture of like, oh, if I'm just not happy in life, I could just disobey. No, listen, that's foolishness. But how many of you guys know sometimes people say some really well-meaning like things that sound really good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're operating through a godly lens. And we have to have the wisdom to understand that this may not be God in this moment. But how many of you guys know not only is the world shouting a certain thing, but our own voice in our head. It's your voice. That's the third voice, or the main voice. It's your voice. Have you ever talked yourself out of doing something that you knew God was telling you to do? Like God told you to go invite someone to church. Well, that was just the devil that day. Like really? The devil's going to have you ask someone to come to church? I don't think so. I mean, unless it's like the church of Satan or something, right? But I mean, he's not going to ask you to invite someone. Or have you ever had like this, you just really felt like you're telling yourself, hey, go pray for that person because they're hurting. And you're like, well, what happens if it doesn't happen? They're just going to think I'm weird. They probably already do. So you might as well just go for it and step out in faith, right? Yeah. But then there's also the fourth voice that you and I have in our life. And that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I believe with all my heart that God wants to speak to every single one of you every single day. I believe he wants to speak to you all the time. But this is what I mean when I say speak to you all the time. This is what I don't mean. I don't mean like when you wake up, he's going to say, hey, wear that green shirt today because it goes well with your eyes. Okay. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about, I do believe he wants to speak to you so that way you can be the man of God you're called to be. I do believe he wants to speak to you so you can be that father figure that you're called to be. I do believe he wants to speak to you because some of you own businesses and you need God's wisdom to make the right deal. You need God's wisdom so that way you could go the right way. He wants to speak to you for direction and purpose and destiny. But we have to like tune this out. Acts chapter 2 says there came a sound from heaven. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to bring a sound that you and I hear so we could go forward in the power of God. But we have to have ears to hear, which means we have to tune out all other voices but his. Our world is a very noisy world, but God's saying, hey, listen, will you take time to tune that out so that way you could tap into all that I have for you? And then number two, approach the throne in humility. Approach the throne in humility. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, let me just say this. Approaching the throne is not to be done in a manner that is arrogant. It's not to be done in a manner in which you and I somehow think we deserve this. When you read Psalm 51, you get this picture that David was like, man, I tried to come to God in my own way. I tried to do it in my own manner. I tried to do it in the things that I thought were right. And I did this in a way that maybe, you know, if I did X, Y, and Z, I would find the blessing of God. But you read it, you realize that he comes to this realization that none of that, outside of faith or if it's done in an arrogant manner, means nothing. He says this, check this out in Psalms 51, 14 through 17. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice or I would give it. For you will not delight in sacrifice. You will not delight in the religious systems right now of the day. Because if that's what you required, God, I would give that over and over and over again. And he's like, you aren't asking of that. And he goes on and he says, you will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. You will not condemn. You will not turn away. Check this out. It's a broken and contrite heart. That word broken in this passage, that word broken means this. It's the Hebrew word shabar, and it means to be broken, to be maimed, to be crippled, or to be wrecked. Have you ever like been in a service to where just God's spirit just wrecked you because of your sin or wrecked you because of your humanity? You realize that you were just in a spot of where God was. You were wrecked. or it means to be crushed. In other words, this is what he's saying. Recognize your true state without Jesus. Recognize what you actually did and allow that to break you. Allow the reality of you turning your back against the will of God to truly sink in. Because when you truly allow that to sink in, something takes place that should cause you to be crushed. And because of that, you choose to tap out. You choose to say, I'm broken. You choose to say, I am not worthy. Why? Because he is. And you choose to just totally go surrender yourself. And that word contrite means this. It's a Hebrew word, dakah. And it's to be crushed, to be contrite, or to be broken. But here's the cool thing about this word. It has this implication or this idea of feeling or expressing pain or sorrow for sin or offenses. This is what I think the Holy Spirit is speaking through this passage. Check this out. Broken carries with it to recognize the state that you're in, while contrite carries with it the feelings that are associated with your state. Brokenness is recognizing this is who I am. And let me just say this. The Bible's very clear. 1 John says that if any of us say we're without sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So it's recognizing who you are without Jesus. Without Jesus, you and I are nothing, okay? There is nothing good within us. The Bible says that our heart's wicked, and there's who can understand it? But thanks be to God that there's a God that gets it, and he's brought his son named Jesus to your life and to my life. Why? Because left to ourselves, we are nothing. Hear me, friends. Humility isn't talking like down to yourself. That's not what I'm implying. I'm not saying, man, I'm just such a worthless scum. That's not what I'm saying. Humility is just simply getting your eyes off of you and onto the person that actually makes a difference. His name is Jesus, right? Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it goes on and says, don't think more highly than you ought to think of yourself. Why? Have you ever noticed that when I do that, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall, right? Whenever I do that, I mess up. But when I recognize the mere fact that I am a frail human and I still need Jesus, and I come before God broken and recognize my state without Jesus, something shifts in my spirit. And it causes me to do number three, and that is proclaim his goodness. You see, when you and I approach this throne, not because of our own sacrifices, not because we're something great, not because we have it all together, but the mere fact that we recognize that through Jesus, we could come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in our time of need. When we do that, when we recognize who we really are outside of Jesus, it causes us to proclaim his goodness. It causes us to declare some things. As the worship team comes this morning, verse 14 and 15, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud. That word sing aloud, it means to cry out. There's something in us that when you and I recognize that it's Jesus, and we say, I'm going to proclaim his goodness, there's something that's in us that says, I am going to cry out, and I'm going to proclaim his goodness. Why? Because he is so good. And he goes on and he says, oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Will declare your praise. The word praise in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word tehillah. And it means to sing, but it also means to sing publicly. What do I believe? You can disagree with me if you want, but I believe many times we don't get our breakthrough because we're too scared to sing publicly. I believe many times when we want to break through in our service and we're too scared to proclaim the goodness of that name, to proclaim the goodness to the next generation, to proclaim his goodness to a world around us that desperately needs Jesus, to proclaim his goodness to our families that just need to hear about the name of Jesus that delivered us from the bondage of sin and death, to proclaim his goodness in the body of believers, to lift up a holy name. Hebrews chapter 13 says to give a sacrifice of praise from the fruit of our lips. It's just something about when you have tahilah praise, breakthrough begins to shift in the atmosphere. Things begin to break off in your life. Psalms 22 verse 3, he is enthroned. That word enthroned means that he literally sits down in our midst. He tabernacles. He dwells. He comes down amongst us, it says. He says, you are enthroned in the praises of your people. Praises, the Hebrew word, tahilah. What's he saying? You want me to come down in your midst? Sing publicly. You want me to come down and move amongst you? Praise me publicly. You want a breakthrough in your life? Praise me publicly. You want a breakthrough in your family? Praise me publicly. You want to see a shift at your job? Praise me publicly. There's this tahilah type of praise. And can I just give you just a couple examples? Because we're going to go to that type of praise here this morning. And I mean no disrespect, but please hear the passion of where David was at and the passion of let's have him enthroned, be enthroned in the praises of his people. Many times in church circles, this is what we end up doing. We end up saying, hey, just praise him. Give Jesus praise. And we go. That's not tahilah praise. Tahilah praise is let's sing aloud. Let's cry out. Let's give a sacrifice of praise from the fruit of our lips. Why? Because he is so worthy. He is so holy. It's giving a sacrifice of praise, proclaiming his name, his goodness to the next generation that's following you and I, that says, man, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. If you are in bondage, you give tahilah praise because he'll set you free. You're caught up in sin, you give tahilah praise because he'll set you free. You're caught up in a bad situation, you give tahilah praise and breakthrough begins to take place in your life. I don't know when it will happen. I just know it will happen. He will come down in a throne and sit down in your life and in my life, all because we decided to cry out to Jesus. So let's do just that. Let's cry out to him. Let's give tahilah praise. I don't know about you, but I want to tap into heaven because I want all that heaven has for me. And something happens when we worship. And so would you stand here today? Thursday, I was in here blaring some music and just worshiping Jesus, praying, declaring things over our church. And I'm here to tell you today that I believe with all my heart that there's going to be a breakthrough in worship in this church that we have not experienced for a long time. I'm here to declare to you that if you and I will stir our faith, if you and I will stir ourselves and recognize that you and I are the ones that are to give tahilah praise, not the worship team behind me, that something will shift in this church. It's a new song. Man, when you and I have this song that's within us and it just begins to bubble up, man, you don't hold that thing in. Man, you let that tahilah praise out. Why? Because God wants to use you to bring breakthrough. It's like giving a birthday card. I just encourage you with this, is that I love getting cards, but I don't like personally just a card that just has all the writing that's already prefabricated and it's already printed and you hand it to me and all you do is sign your name on it. Because to me, I just look at that and go, man, that's, wow, that took a lot of thought for you to sign your name. Could I suggest to you that tahilah praise is more than just singing the words up there on the screen? but it's actually taking time to write your own card in the blank spot of saying, Jesus, I just love you so much. Why? Because you're my Savior. You're my healer. You are the great I am. You're the one that set me free. You're the one that saved my family. You're the one that healed my body. You're the one that caused me to stand on firm rock instead of on shifting sand. God, you are so good. You are so holy. You are so righteous. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end. You are such a good God. Why? Because you're my Savior. You're my King. Breakthrough begins to take place. So let's do that right now. Right where you're at. The band, they're just going to play. And they're just going to just prophetically play over us. And we're going to lift up our voice. And would you begin to write your own song and allow a sacrifice of praise to come out for the fruit of your lips. Come on. Right now. Right now. Begin to lift up your voice. Jesus Christ.
That
We're gonna sing this chorus again, but you're here today and you need a breakthrough in your life. I don't know what you need, but you know deep inside you need a breakthrough. That's just a sign of you saying, hey, I need God to break through. I want you to just lift your hands in this building and say, Lord, I need a breakthrough in my life. If that's you right now, lift up your hands right now. Right now, you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. Amen. 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 Okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to keep your hands raised. Okay, Acts chapter, I believe it's 16, talks about how Paul and Silas were in prison. And it says that they worshiped at midnight. And as they worshiped, the other people that were in bondage, the other people that were in the prison cells, something shifted because of their worship. And those cells broke open and set people free. Here's what I want to encourage you. If you're here today and your hands aren't lifted, you're going to help bring breakthrough. Why? Because you're going to lift up your song. You're going to lift up your voice. And we're going to have a Tehillah praise and bring breakthrough. When we get to that line where it says, and I'm going to yell his name. Listen, I want you to just yell this name out. Listen, if I'm asking you to do this, you know it's God, because I hate yelling in the sense of yelling like that. That drives me nuts. But I just really believe that there's something of faith that's going to be activated in you, okay? And you're just going to shout his name, and you're going to continue to worship, all right? So let's do that. Come on. Let's do that. Let's sing this. Come on.
Sing There's a Love.
There's a love that lives in you. For you, Lord, my Savior, King, who breaks the sin that's binding and leads me to a place of freedom, freedom, Jesus. And I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven.
Save my soul.
to pray for us, but I want to give all of us our next steps. Because I believe with all my heart, anytime you preach the Word of God, there should be a next step. Here's the next step for all of us in this room. Psalms 22, verse 3 says that He's enthroned in the praises of an individual. Every time we come together, He's saying, sing aloud. Sing publicly. Because that's that type of praise. You become more aware of who I am in your midst. That type of praise causes me to do things in that type of people that doesn't happen elsewhere. There's something about when His people come together and sing aloud and sing publicly and lift up holy hands and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, breakthrough happens. So what's our next step? Every time we get together, let's have tehillah type praise. Every time we get together, let's realize that God wants to move in our hearts as a collective whole as we sing with one heart and one spirit. So I want to pray for us that as we walk out, that we take that type of praise with us. Not to be annoying, that's not my point, but so that way the world would go, man, why are you so happy? Like, let me tell you, I serve an amazing God. And even though I fall 7 times, the righteous shall get up. Why? Because our God is so good. You might be in here today and go, man, I messed up this last week. Well, get back up, brother, because there is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. It is cast out to the farthest place that you can even imagine. He remembers it no more. Why? Simply because you confess it and you give tehillah praise. Come on. You've got to just go after Jesus. So let that be our next step. So let me pray that all of us, we would do that together. Heavenly Father, I ask right now that, Lord, that You would help all of us. God, truly lift up Your name and proclaim Your name in such a way, God, that brings glory to who You are. God, we truly do desire an open heavens over our church. We truly do desire and open heavens over our life. And Lord, we know that as we lift up the name that's above every other name, as we proclaim Your goodness, things shift in the heavenlies and shift in our lives. And so, Lord, help us tap out of ourselves so we could tap into all that You have for us. And Lord, help us every time we come together to have tehillah type praise in our midst, because we believe Your word. We believe that as we do that, You'll come down and make Yourself more known to us in a special way. And so, Lord, we love You, we honor You, and we praise You. We ask that You go before us in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, amen, amen. If you're new here, you've never filled out a Connect card, would you do that? Pastor Levi, he's going to be at the Next Steps table. And so would you take that card out there? We have a gift for you, a free coffee mug and some candy. So swing by there so we can say hi. Take care. God bless. We'll see you guys either Wednesday or next Sunday.